other programmes from the last week for free on our Catch Up feature. Just download the LBC app for iPhone or Android, tap on Catch Up. Simple as that. Coming up at 6 is Nigel Farage, but right now on LBC, it is my pleasure to tell you that Eddie Mair is here.
Just talking to this?
Into the mic, yeah, okay. That's the one.
It's nice to be here.
It's lovely to have you here.
It's been great listening to you for the last few hours. Thanks, Sheila. Is this the bit where I say what's coming up in my programme?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've had to do a lot of interviews, publicity for the show.
Yes.
I had to go to meetings, compliance, that kind of
thing. You interviewed me for the show.
I know, and you're going to be on later in the week, and I can't wait. So, we haven't really done a lot of preparation. The one thing I do know, because they told me about this, just as in the old place, you can't talk over the pips and you can't talk over the bongs, the only thing you get fired for at LBC, as far as I know, is, you know, when the guy talks, you shouldn't talk over him, because that really upsets them if you're still talking.
Never ever do that.
And here.
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, at 4 o'clock, the Home Secretary's announced social media companies could face new laws unless they do more to tackle child abuse.
This is LBC. From Global, leading Britain's conversation with Eddie Mair.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me on LBC. It's good to finally be here. I want to take a moment before we do anything else to chatter on a bit, I suppose, about me. I don't intend to do that every day by any means, but on my first day I thought I would. Normally, we will talk about what's going on in the world and your experience of it, but I did want to start my first day on air here by thanking LBC, obviously, and thanking them for their understated promotion of this show. I want to apologise to all LBC listeners who've heard nothing but me and my voice over the last week. Hopefully that will now calm down. The other person I want to thank just at the start of the programme is Ian Dale. The chances are you are a regular Ian Dale listener and you've tuned in and are somewhat perplexed to hear me here, and I understand that. The thing about people who run radio stations, and everyone who works in radio knows this, is every now and again they come along with an idea of refreshing the schedule, they call it, and things get moved around, and everyone who works in the business understands that. For listeners, and obviously I'm a radio listener too, there is nothing worse than when your favourite person gets moved. Your friend on the radio suddenly disappears to a new time. So I do feel your anguish if you're missing Ian. I absolutely get that. The good news is Ian is along at 7. A professional will be here. Someone who knows what they're doing in an LBC studio will be here at 7. Which is not to be self-effacing. I've done radio before. I've done lots of phone-ins and stuff before. But we've been testing how I use the studio for the last couple of weeks, and it's not always gone smoothly. If you're a fan of radio bloopers, I would get some kind of equipment recording this next 2 hours. I'll tell you, when we've tested this program, I essentially have one thing to do besides talk, and I've got two faders at my right hand, and they control callers. At no point have I opened these faders at the right time. Someone yells in my ear, "Fader." And that's every single time we've tested this programme. So you're going to miss, I'm pretty sure, for the next 2 hours, you're going to miss the first 3 seconds of anything anyone says. I want to apologise for that right away. But Ian, thank goodness, will be along at 7 o'clock, and it will all go smoothly from there. And the thing about Ian, for my money, Ian is the best drive time radio presenter in the country. And I include when I was doing it in opposition to him. And you look at the success he's had in terms of his audience. When Ian's Drive Time show first went across the UK, it had an audience of just under 500,000, and Ian left with more than 800,000. So he has a lot of satisfied customers. And what I'm going to do is my best to make a good program that you want to listen to and be part of. Hopefully you'll get to know me a bit. I certainly want to get to know you a bit. And when I say around the country, that, of course, is true. When I left the old job, quite a few people said, well, what a shame I won't be able to hear you, because I don't live in London. But, of course, LBC is not just London, it's across the UK. And surprisingly, even people who work in radio aren't aware of that. I mentioned to somebody, and he was astonished, and he's the managing editor of LBC. So you can catch us on the Global Radio app, Freeview, Freesat, Sky, Virgin, DAB, that Amazon gadget that talks to you, and the Google one. And also, if you put tinfoil on your head, shiny side out, and press your face against a window, you can get LBC through your fillings. LBC has been a UK-wide station for 4 years. When it first went national, it had an audience of 1.3 million. Now, it's more than 2 million. So I'm joining a growing station. Watch it go into reverse. One of the things I'm looking forward to most are the phone-ins, hearing from you. At my old gig, we didn't do phone-ins, which was a shame because we missed that instant listener reaction to what was going on in the news. But we very much heard from listeners. In fact, we created a programme that was entirely about listeners' experience because it's my view, and obviously the view of LBC, that listeners have as much to contribute with their experience as experts and pundits and politicians and so on. So I don't need to be convinced of the value of that. And in the course of the next hour, I'm particularly keen to hear from you about wills. We thought we'd open with an upbeat topic. Aretha Franklin did not make a will. Her family and their lawyers are now busy working out what on earth to do, pick up the pieces. Have you had to pick up the pieces after a loved one died without a will? What happened in your family as a result? Or maybe there was a will and there wasn't a way. Maybe the will caused family strife. Do give us a call. Also, Boris Johnson, is it time for him to put up or shut up? Downing Street says Boris Johnson resigned over Chequers. There is no new ideas in his article in the Daily Telegraph today. Our number, 0345 6060973. You can text us 84850 and tweet at LBC. Now, on Boris Johnson, LBC's political editor Theo Usherwood is here with all the day's developments. Hello, Theo.
Hello, and welcome.
Thank you.
Boris Johnson is the man the Conservative Leave voters would like Britain to take Britain out of the European Union. That was the verdict.
Eddie Mair on LBC.
With which, beat fake reviews and get the facts.
419. I want to talk now about Aretha Franklin's wardrobe, just for a moment. According to the New York Times, on Tuesday, her outfit consisted of a lacy crimson gown, towering scarlet heels and cherry red lipstick and nail polish. On Wednesday, she'd been changed into a pale, shimmering blue frock, again with matching heels. On Thursday, she wore a rose gold custom knit suit. And on Friday, Aretha Franklin wore a full-length gold dress with sparkling gold sequined heels to match. That was what Aretha Franklin wore in her coffin last week. Three costume changes, to the delight of many of her fans and, of course, followers of fashion. But I don't know whether Aretha Franklin planned all of that, but it was well received. We do know for sure that the Queen of Soul did not make a will. She may have planned three costume changes in her coffin, but she did not make any plans for what happened to her, we think, fairly substantial riches after she died. Don Wilson is a lawyer in Los Angeles who worked on entertainment matters for Aretha Franklin for nearly 30 years, and he said he repeatedly told her to sort out the paperwork. She never told me, no, I don't want to do one. She understood the need, he said. It just didn't seem to be something she got round to. Have you made a will? I updated mine recently. I'm leaving all my money to Steve Allen, and my ashes are to be scattered over Robert Peston. But I'm in the minority. I'm particularly keen to hear from you if you have been left behind. You've been grieving for a loved one, coping with all of that, and at some point it becomes clear there was no will. What happened? 0345 6060973. A survey earlier this year suggested nearly two-thirds of adults in the UK have not prepared a will. This despite the fact we're constantly advised to make one. The experts always tell us we should. Let's hear from Tom Daly from Russell Cook Solicitors. Why do people ignore the advice?
Oh, hi, good afternoon, Eddie. Hi. No, it's alarming. Obviously, we make it very clear to all of our clients that they should be reviewing their testamentary intentions every 5 years or so. That's
Alex in Eastbourne. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Fine.
Thanks very much for phoning in. Are you pleased with my use of the faders this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much.
I'm a PM fan, but now I'm an LBC fan.
And so you should be. Thank you for calling in. Now, what is it you want to talk about? It's wills, I guess.
Yes, it's actually a happy family story. When my mother...
Oh, I'm looking for misery, Alex. I don't want happy.
I tried, but I can't. My mother died, and instead of leaving her will to me and my sister, she left it to my sister and my sister's children. We don't know why, because we all got on well, but my mother did read the Daily Mail all her life and got dementia. But the good story...
Are you suggesting there's a link between those two things?
I am a socialist. That's enough.
Yeah, all right. Get on with it.
And my sister and her dear children agreed that I would have my share and leave the children their share in my will. So I'm looking after the money carefully and will hand it over to them. Meanwhile, I'm giving them $3,000 a year, which is what you're allowed to do without paying tax. So it's a happy story.
That sounds blissful, and I take it you've made a will.
Yes.
And are you equally generous?
Well, all mine's going to charity, actually, except what's going to my niece and nephew.
Do the family know it's all going to charity?
Yes, I think that might have been why my mother did that. I don't think I can blame the Daily Mail completely, much as I try.
Because I suppose you want to, well, not that it's be of concern to you, you won't be with us, but to avoid that post-death shock, at least if they know in advance it's going to charity, they can, you know, dislike you now.
Exactly. But I have to be honourable. So I'm going to do it and try and save up enough to give some to charity as well.
All right, nice to talk to you, Alex. I am looking for misery on wills, 03456060973. Margaret in Battersea, good afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
What's your experience?
That was a very nice story. I'm going to bring you some more misery.
Excellent.
So my mother died, and she very carefully, with her husband, second marriage, went off and made a will.
Liam in Yorkshire has texted. I didn't give you the text, but, you know, at 84850. I'm a Conservative member. Boris should definitely not shut up. Membership polling shows he has the support of the majority of party members. Theresa May has been an abject failure, and her pandering to Remainers in the parliamentary party such as Ms. Woolerstone, we spoke to her earlier, will render us unelectable. We'll get to more calls in just a while. Also, I'm happy to say Ian Dale is here. He'll have news of his programme from 7 in just a moment, but now the moment has finally arrived. We want to set aside, I mean, we will spend the whole programme, as you know, talking about what's going on in the world and your experience of it, but we wanted to take some time to step away from the hurly-burly of daily life, and that's why every night around this time we're going to bring you the LBC Classic Serial, your chance to emotionally, mentally get into another frame of mind after your busy day. We thought, who shall we get to read out a Dickens masterpiece? Who better than Jeremy Paxman, formerly of Newsnight, still of University Challenge, and one of Britain's most respected broadcasters. We have asked him to read for us A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. Here, then, is part one, Jeremy Paxman, with the LBC Classic Serial.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
See, the thing is, Jeremy is quite expensive, and we decided that to get the most out of it, we're just going to do a sentence a day. I hope that's okay. Plus, if we only do a sentence a day, they can't axe the programme until we finish the book. We'll have another tomorrow. Now, Boris Johnson, let's hear from Lynn in Aberdeen. Good evening, Lynn, how are you?
Hi, Eddie. Welcome to LBC.
Nice to be here.
Boris Johnson,
The
man makes me so, so angry.
I'm told he feels the same way about you.
That's right.
What's wrong with him?
He's like a narcissistic child in a sweetie shop. And if he doesn't get his own way, you know, he runs to the Telegraph. I came to a conclusion today. Well, not a conclusion, but just a thought. He had his chance. You know, he went for leadership, what was it, 2 years ago, and then pulled out. I'm now wondering, did he do that? Did he pull out because he wanted to see that the, you know, if it was going to turn into the mess that it has done, in my opinion.
Okay, but reading between the lines, Lil, I'm guessing you're not a fan of his. The question, yeah. Should he put up or shut up? Would you like to see him just go for it and get it over with?
No, because I'm scared that he, you know, because he is popular. I'm quite worried that he does get
enough to sort of take that role on at the moment.
All right, Roger, thanks very much for that. I want to talk now, if I may, not about Boris Johnson, not about the Conservative Party, but about Ian Dale, who is with me in the studio. Ian.
You've been talking quite a lot about me. I have, in a very nice way, which I thank you for.
Well, and I thank you. Oh, we're just going to make everyone sick with how nice we're being. But you've been nothing but very gracious since I showed up, and I appreciate that very much. And I apologised, in a sense, to your listeners at the start of the programme, and I hope they'll get the hang of me. The point is, you're here at 7 o'clock. What can we expect?
Well, at 7 o'clock every night, bear in mind I'm on from Monday to Thursday, Andrew Pearce is still on Fridays, so we're going to have a news hour, catching up on the big stories of the day, live interviews, reports and all the rest of it, plus also calls as usual. We're going to be talking to the Conservative MP for Grantham and Stamford, Nick Bowles. He's come up with an alternative Brexit proposal, but I'm not sure that it stands up to a lot of scrutiny, so there may be a few little fireworks in that particular interview.